Thank you again, Mr. Flash. Oh, yes. For a moment there, I thought I wouldn't be able to even open it, but we've got it open, so. We'll just set that there and see what happens. Yes. Appreciate the song leading and the song service. Again, it's really nice to hear the band up and playing, or the orchestra, the instruments, and also the young ladies that are singing. It makes it really nice. It's nice to see that and hear that. It just adds that extra little bit to Sabbath services. The title for the sermon this afternoon is the Olympic Experiences, or you might want to say maybe a subtitle, the Olympic Dream. Around 3 weeks ago now, hundreds or perhaps thousands of the best athletes in the world, and these were from the major countries in the world, they converged on a little place in Italy, Torino, which is pronounced in Canada for some reason as Turin. I'm not too sure why they do that, because when you watch TV over there, it was always Torino, and yet the papers would say Turin. I guess that must have something to do with the translations of the languages, but anyways, hundreds of athletes did converge at that particular occasion. And these athletes, again, were the best in the world, absolutely the best. And it was the Olympic Winter Games, so most of the games were related to the winter. Again, most of the countries that maybe were above the equator and on each side of the equator were able to come, any of those that had contestants or athletes. Most of the athletes have been training for years. I think sometimes we don't realize that. They've been training for years for most of them, just for one chance to compete and be the best in the world. A lot of them for just one chance. Some of them are able to compete more than once, but that's more the exception than the rule. And for most of them, they have the dream, the Olympic dream, and that's the gold medal, or even sometimes just a medal to put around their neck. And then the opportunity of getting up after the event and standing on the podium and to receive their medal. And it's been estimated that the Olympics draw a television audience second to none in the world. And I've heard estimates that run into the billions out of the 6.5 million people, 6.5 billion people on Earth, billions watch this event. So it's a very prestigious event, and it's very well attended, and it's watched by a lot of people. Canada was one of the countries that also sent their best athletes there. Now, remember what the countries were doing is they would send their best athletes, the very best. So it wasn't just a case of I want to go in the Olympics, and you're already just buy a ticket over there and enter into the events and participate. Most countries, especially Canada, they had a team. You had to become part of a team before you could go. And that happened in all the different, in most of the events anyways. For example, the women's hockey team. I'm not exactly sure. I heard a statistic on television, and I'm not sure the number, and I thought they said that there were 16,000 women hockey players in Canada. Now, it could be wrong, but even if we take, say, 6,000 people, it was either 6 or 16, but only 20 people of all the women hockey players in Canada were able to go. So really a very small percentage of the hockey players were able to go. The men's situation is a lot different because there are probably, hundred thousand, maybe more. I'm sure there's probably more of that hockey players in Canada. And yet only one team of maybe 20 players of the best. And the only ones that were selected were the professional hockey players. So anybody else that had some aspirations, they were just simply out of the picture. So you see, only the best, the very best, were able to go. The results, it didn't sound too promising at first. I had the opportunity this time, for the first time, where I had the choice and the opportunity to watch as much of the Olympics or as little. And in times past, I guess you know that, but I enjoy team sports. I enjoy hockey. I enjoy curling. And over the years, I've had the occasion to play basically in the church level and sometimes in the industrial areas. And I think of the times when we won an event or won a tournament or won a curling match and got a little trophy. It felt really good. I mean, it was kind of a culmination of not a lot of time and a lot of effort, but it was a culmination that ended up where you get the first prize, and it felt really good. And it's rather interesting when you look and you hear from these athletes who finally end up on the podium, say in Torino or Turin, to hear their reaction, the feeling, what it would be like. And they would say, oh, it's incredible. It's nothing, you can't explain it, that really. It's just something that's beyond kind of explanation. And that's, a lot of times, that's their conclusion, that it's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable when they are able to go up to the podium, take the medal, and then sing the national anthem to Canada, and especially the ones in Canada. Canada, as I mentioned, ended up with 23 medals over the period of the 2 weeks. Many of the medalists became national heroes, really. If you've been reading the paper at all, or you've been watching television the last few weeks, and especially reading the Herald, I mean, they're front page. They've managed front page in the Calgary Herald, a number of them. And what happened as well, like I said, I had the opportunity to watch, so I was always interested in the hockey and the curling, so I watched a lot of those. But some of the other events I never really watched much. But it turned out, for this last few months, I seem to be an early riser. It's not because I want to. It's because I wake up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and can't get back to sleep. So what better time to go and turn on the TV? And with a time difference, they were into the events. So I was very fortunate because on three different occasions when I got up early in the morning, I turned on the TV, and it was just the Canadians that were running the race or their particular event that they were in. And on three different occasions, they were running for gold. So it was really, to me, it was really exciting to be able to watch those people and just see them going for the gold. And of course, the announcers that were announcing the event, they're Canadians too, and they were so excited. And of course, and I got excited, and really interesting. And some of the stories after the event, where they would be confronted by someone from the media for an interview, some of their stories were absolutely fantastic. A young lady by the name of Cindy Klassen, I don't know if you've heard of Cindy Klassen, yes, some, I'm sure the people that have any interest at all, I've heard that name, and like I said, her name was on the paper. And this young lady, received five, by the end of the week, or the end of the 2 weeks, she received five medals. And that's the most medals that any athlete, a Canadian athlete, has ever won in one particular games, in Winter Games. So five medals. I had a chance to watch the interview afterwards. And when we think of it, sometimes when we think of these individuals, you think, oh yeah, she just has lots of talent and she can just get in there and just skate like mad. But when you hear her story, it's unbelievable. Well, it is to me. It's almost unbelievable. But what was also interesting is the humility that many of them had when they won. They weren't boasting. They were just very proud to be there and represent their country and to be able to go up on the podium and even sing the national anthem, as some of them did. But Cindy Klassen, when she went up for the interview, first of all, she was thankful. Like, she thanked her coach and her teammates, her parents, just very thankful. I appreciate the message from Mr. Peterson earlier on, because when you heard some of the things that he alluded to, these are exactly my points. It's just that I have a little bit more time and I can give some examples for each of them. But he covered most of them, many of them, endurance, the belief that they have, that we have to have. He went through several of them, so we'll go through that as time goes by. But she commented, here's a young lady. She talked about a mindset, and she said her mindset always when she competes is best when you're having fun. Best when you're having fun. And of course, she was winning, so maybe it was a little bit easier for her. But it was her mindset all the time, even before she raced. She was there having fun. And her focus. Her focus for a long time has been, the Olympic events that she would participate in. And again, she finished with five medals. She said she always gives 100%. And she's never satisfied if it's less than 100%. So what does that tell you about her? All the things that I've already mentioned, the focus, the effort, the endurance, the training. What's interesting, I think this is the most interesting part about her, is hockey was her first love. She's a speed skater, and she won all her medals in skating. But hockey was her first love, and she tried to join the women's hockey team, but she was cut, believe it or not. And she said that was devastating to be cut. It was her opportunity to get to the Olympics with the way that she felt was important at the time, or the only way, and she was cut. Shortly thereafter, she injured her leg, and I guess she was off skates for a period of time, and she said she could barely stand. So she said she went home, which home was in Manitoba, in Winnipeg, and just contemplated the whole situation for a while. After a few months, when her leg healed, and I guess she decided, well, maybe I can skate. So she decided to skate again. And, well, the rest is history. Like I already mentioned, the number of medals that she went. And her final comment on the interview was, well, we, and she didn't talk to just about herself, but she was talking about the team, the skating team, which comprised a lot of individuals. She said, we want to make Canada proud. So just, like I said, a very fascinating individual. The next person that comes to mind is another young lady, and her name was Clara Hughes. Now, maybe you've heard of her, maybe you haven't. In the last race that was run, it was a speed skating, the 5,000 meter event, and Cindy Klassen was also skating in that event, and they each were paired up, and I believe there was five different pairs. So Cindy Klassen went up first, and she beat the person that she was racing with because they raced two at a time around the track. So the second group went. Cindy Klassen was still first. The third event, the third time around with the other people, Cindy Klassen was still first. The fourth event, they went around. Cindy Klassen was still first. So now we go into the final heat with the last two skaters. One of them happened to be Clara Hughes from Canada. So they start the race, and they mentioned at that time that whether Clara Hughes wins or not, Canada is going to be guaranteed two medals in this particular event. So we know that Cindy Klassen at that time, that's her fifth medal, so regardless of who wins the race, Cindy Klassen is going to earn her fifth medal. So they started skating, and it's funny, sometimes when you listen to the announcers, they comment certain ways, and at first they mentioned that Clara Hughes was just too slow. She just wasn't gaining any time. In fact, she was losing time as she was going around the lap. And I think, I'm not exactly sure the amount of laps, around seven or eight or something like that. I don't remember. But it was funny because the last lap, she was several seconds behind, and several seconds in that competition isn't really a whole lot, but she was behind. So all of a sudden, she took off. And it was surprising to the announcer, but she just took off. And she was able to finish. By the time she got to the finish room, she was able to have the best time of the whole event, and she ended up getting the gold. And the girl that she was lapping with ended up getting second, which meant Cindy would get bronze. But anyways, they got her up on the podium, and then also the people got there and gave the interview. And they asked her what, you know, it's, again, sometimes these announcers, they go up and say, well, how do you feel? And sometimes it's legitimate and sometimes it isn't. But anyway, she said, it's like a dream. And there's an expression that they used, when you give it all, 100%, and all you've got, the tank is empty. So the comment when she was up is, the tank is empty, because she gave everything she had, but she did win. But what was striking about her, again, is the attitude that she had, the humility, and something. She was very motivating. She said, quote, every day is like a new day, and every race is a new race. In other words, like we hear, forgetting those things that are behind. So she's the type of person that did that. And she said, if you put your heart to it, and your mind to it, and your body to it, truly, you can do anything. And when she was up and showing the medal, and she was looking through the television, she said, this can be you. So as she was looking in the screen, she was very sincere about it. She said, this can be you. This can be anybody. It doesn't matter where you are. If you spend enough effort, enough time, you make the commitment, and what Mr. Peterson mentioned about having endurance and all those necessary qualities, you can do anything. And she said, anything is possible. So for a young person, I found that she was very inspiring, and the attitude that she had. There were others as well. In the curling competition, you probably heard of Brad Gushy, a young curler from Newfoundland. He struggled just about all the 2 weeks. If you watch the curling, he struggled, and as I watched, no way this fellow's just going to go anywhere, because things just weren't coming together. And remember, there's a difference between a team sport and an individual sport, because with a team sport, you need all the individuals. Need I mention the Canada men's hockey tournament, or the hockey team? Somebody said there's $100 million worth of talent there. But as a group, they fizzled. Amazing, isn't it? The team concept, that was prevalent throughout when you talk to these different individuals, that the team concept was so important. Brad Gushue eventually started winning. Something interesting about his team as well. He started, again, they had the competition in Canada to see which rink would go. And I guess last September, October, we had these four young men, and I believe they were around the age of 25 years. And they were good, but they realized they weren't good enough. So what they did, and this is opposite to what normally happens. If you have an older person on the team, you kick the older person off and you substitute with a younger team, with a younger player. But what they did is they did the exact opposite. They had another individual, his name was Russ Howard, he turned 50 years old. So they were able to get him to become part of the team. And the experience that he brought and all the other things that he brought to the team allowed them to go to become becoming the top team in Canada, but then also the top team in the world. 25-year-old Skip. Another interesting thing about Brad, his father was in the stands, and of course they kept showing his dad, and of course the dad had the T-shirt on, and it said, Brad's father. So every time they'd put the camera up into the audience, he would just open up his, you could see Brad's father. So I knew his father was there, but I couldn't figure out why his mother was there. They just said at one point she had to stay at home. So as soon as the last game was over, they knew they had the gold medal. They won. He's walking around with his cell phone. Well, let me pretend this is a cell phone. And they got the camera on him, and he's kind of talking. On live television, they've got the camera on him, but they got him over to the microphone, and I guess what was happening, he was trying to call his mother in Newfoundland, and it turned out that she has cancer. This is the thing, one of these things with adversity that Mr. Peterson was talking about. She had cancer, and she was in chemotherapy, and she wasn't able to come. So as soon as Brad got off the ice, he's going to phone his mother. So you can see something happening. And so finally a message got back to the announcer over TV. And the announcer said over the audience, he says, Brad says to get off the phone, Mom. I'm trying to call you. So I thought it was quite something. So then he came over to the microphone. And they started talking. And he just broke down. He was trying not to show his emotion, but he couldn't help it because he was just so overwhelmed. And by that time, he just made contact with his mom, and he said afterwards, he says, I wanted to make sure my mother knew that we cared about her, even though she wasn't able to come. So he eventually gained his composure, and he made a comment about it, but with breaking down. But I guess there's this thing, maybe with some men, and I thought it was fairly evident that it's wrong for men to cry. But I think we remember our Savior, Jesus Christ, don't we? He wept over Jerusalem. So there's nothing really wrong with crying, but I guess some of these men didn't want to. So he apologized for breaking down. The next one, I just have a couple of short ones. A fellow by the name of, he's a firefighter from Calgary, and this was in the paper, but if you looked last week, you had stories almost every day about these individuals who won a medal. And this particular fellow, Duff Wilson, or Duff Gibson, I should say, he won a gold medal. He's 40 years old, and I guess he's a fireman up at the fire hall and out at the airport. And he after winning the medal, He was greeted by, I guess they even had fire trucks escorting the plane in into the unloading area. So he had a real homecoming of the airport because the fire station was there and all his firefighter and all his friends were there. I'll just read a little bit about from the Herald, the story. He said when Carol Gibson last saw her son, well, that's his mother, the pair grieved the loss of her husband, his father. On Monday, they finally saw each other again. Now, I guess, I don't know if it says in the article or not, But anyways, his father died from cancer in December, just a couple of months ago. And on Monday night, they finally saw each other again, Carol flying from her home in Ontario to Calgary to welcome her son home, a surprise visit for her golden boy. She hugged him, smiled, and touched his gold medal. And he did all he could not to break down. "It means the most to me that my family has flown out to be with me here," said an emotional Gibson, Canada's gold medal-winning skeleton racer, one of the first Olympians to arrive back home. "It's just such a treat. I intended on seeing them, but not for another month. It's just such a surprise." Carol Gibson, who lost her husband Andy to cancer in December, waited patiently for her son to clear customs, speak to the media, hug well-wishers. And she stood with two of her daughters, Carrie and Robin, who also flew out from Toronto to see their brother. So that's another hero. It's another hero. A couple of other words I'll just mention very briefly now because time is fleeting. Shannon Clybrink, curling, if you've been following curling, same sort of thing. Probably thousands and thousands of curlers in Canada, and you have to compete to be able to go to the Olympics. And she ended up being the Canadian winner, so she got to go with her ring. She was also interviewed, and there's also a story about her in the paper. But apparently what happened at the curling, when they got there, I guess some of their rink got sick with food poisoning, and of course they had to do some alternating and changing, or just playing when you're sick. And I imagine with food poisoning and having to curl, it wasn't any fun. So you could see some of the problems that they were having, and they didn't do very well at first. They eventually came along, and they ended up with a bronze medal. They didn't win the gold, but they did win the bronze, and they did win the bronze very convincingly. But she said, "For us, a bronze medal is just as good as a gold." From the adversity that they had to go through, she said, "The bronze medal is just as good." She said, "So what we'll do now, we'll just go home," and she says, "We'll shine a yellow light on it, and our bronze will look like gold." So, interesting again. And then finally, one I mentioned about the men's hockey, lack of team or lack of whatever, but the women's hockey. And this has to do with some of the points also that Mr. Peterson mentioned, but this idea of keeping focused. They went over, this young team, or this, I guess not necessarily a young team, but they knew. They were 100% focused. Their goal was to win. And they did, very convincingly, very, very convincingly. And they eventually, the final of the goal game, they were able to win very convincingly as well. So a team that was really focused, that operated and functioned as a team. And they realized that it's not just one player, it's the whole team. So let's just think of some of the attributes that I've mentioned already so far, because we're going to tie this in now basically with us in the church. Teamwork. Very, very important. I'll just give you them right now before, and then get into some things in a little bit, a few minutes. Sacrifice, the amount of sacrifice that they had to endure. And just think about some of the things that Mr. Peterson mentioned, sacrifice, the sacrifice that we have to make if we want to end up in the kingdom. And commitment. One thing, another thing that all those athletes, and we should too, we should be very privileged for being here today. Remember 6 or 20 people out of 100,000. Think of us in the church, that God, the first fruits, the ones that he's working with at this time. 6.5 billion people on the earth. How many has he elected, as was pointed out last week in the sermon by Mr. Palmer? God's elect. So we should feel very privileged and very thankful that God has decided to elect us at this point. And how many thousands there are in the world that God is working with at this point, we don't really have an idea, at least I don't. But it's not very many when you think about it, the 6.5 billion people on the face of the earth. So we need to feel privileged, and also at the same time we need to feel thankful. I mentioned about work and the work ethic that many of these skaters and people in the Olympics needed, the work ethic. They had to sacrifice. Even now, the next Olympics winter is in Vancouver, 4 years, and even now, they're already working on it. And they, believe me, from what I hear anyways, some of them practice skating or whatever they do 6 hours a day, 7 hours a day, day after day after day, and the sacrifices that they have to make with their family, if some of them are married, with their family and their children, they have to make these sort of sacrifices. They have to sacrifice so much, but because of the work that's required. So we can think the same way with us. And what Mr. Peterson also brought out, the things that he brought out, that we are to become rock solid or rocks. And we need to consider basically the things that we have to do. We just can't sit around and maybe wait for tomorrow for something to happen or next year. We need to work on it continually. Remember what Cindy Klassen said? Every day is a new day. It's a new race. And for us too, it's the same way. And the focus that they had to have. We have to have that same focus. We can't be deterred by other things. And I know sometimes it's hard when we talk about focus. And the adversity that Mr. Peterson also mentioned. You think about some of the things that have happened fairly recently within the last couple of weeks. The young fellow from Edmonton who was killed with a family, with a wife and two children. That's adversity. And his parents, second son that they've lost, they have to deal with that. And it's hard. It has to be hard. And there's some other people up in Edmonton, as well as I know, where an elderly lady, she lost a son and a grandson. And people have to deal with that sort of thing. Sometimes it's extremely hard, but we have to deal with it. Like it's a sidetrack maybe, but again, we have to make sure that we have to be focused. I mentioned just earlier, imagine what it would be like to be on the podium to receive the gold medal. I wonder if we can imagine what it's to be like at the first resurrection or the kingdom of God. Can we leave our minds just kind of dwell on that just for a moment? The first resurrection. If standing on that podium is the most unbelievable thing for these individuals, what about the first resurrection? What about the time if the ones that are alive to go up in the air with Christ, or if the ones that are dead to be resurrected? And Christ coming and saying, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." That's got to be something. If there aren't tears, then I don't think there will ever be tears again, but those are tears of joy, something that we need to be focused on. We need to be continually focused on the kingdom of God. And whatever happens, as Mr. Peterson's mentioned, it's basically God is working with us, building character. And if we're going to be in the world tomorrow, the kingdom of God, and teaching and helping and serving people, the best way, really, is to have that experience. And as we look around, not just in this audience, but in the rest of the churches, we are learning a lot of things by experience. And that's one of the ways that God is one of the things that God is doing is to help us gain the experience. And sometimes it's really hard, like Mr. Peterson said, like being running through the fire. And we are. We should expect that, because what God has in store for us is really beyond what the Olympics whatever give us. The other point is basically the point about inspiring our heroes. And you could just see this bubbling across from Cindy Clawson and also, Cindy Clawson and Clara Hughes. It's the inspiration that they give to us. We can do the same thing, really. Each and every one of us in here, we can do the same thing. We can be inspiring to others by what we do and how we act. So those are the main points as to the Olympics. A few scriptures now. I was reading one of the old booklets, and I know I did have a couple of scriptures, lead-in scriptures, and one was in Corinthians, and it talked about Paul competing, and we'll go there in a minute. But the heading in this old booklet was written in 1967, Life is a Race. Life is a race. We can spend maybe just two or three minutes just kind of summarizing the panorama from the very beginning to right now. If you want to just go to Genesis just for a moment before we go to Corinthians. But if we start in Genesis, and this could be, well, this is billions of years ago. Genesis 1:1. And the scripture says, in the beginning. And if we think of this scripture, in a beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And the next verse, the earth became without form and void. So right off the bat, that tells us that the creation, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And if we know about God, we know that it was perfect. But then over a period of time, the earth became form and void. And if we search the scripture a little bit more, what we do, we'll find out, or we remember that God had created angels. And then, of course, the Bible tells us about the rebellion of the angels and with Satan. And then the next few verses now is basically not the creation, as some like to say that it was, of the earth. It was basically a recreation. It was already there, and God was just cleaning it up for human beings. And we read in verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our own image. Let us, and we understand that God, Elohim, is a plural word, and it means more than one. So we understand that if we go a little bit further in the New Testament, we understand that who created all things through Jesus Christ. So right off the bat, and probably millions and billions and billions of years before, because we don't know, God had decided that he was going to build a family. And you can read Genesis, the rest of Genesis, how God went about certain things. In chapter 2, we can read about him, creating the first man, Adam, and then Eve. And it talks about the two trees in the garden. One was a tree of life, and the other was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what God was doing, he was electing. He gave Adam the chance of being the first elect. But you know what happened with the story of Adam and Eve. We have the situation in the Garden of Eden, and we have that the enemy, the arch enemy, Satan, who was able to deceive Adam and Eve. And of course, Adam and Eve was thrust out of the garden. And that was the very beginning. And after that, man no longer had access directly to God. Like God was giving him a chance, Adam, at the time, which would have changed everything. But Adam and Eve decided to decide what was right and wrong in verse 17 of chapter 2, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So in the process, God gave him some commandments and gave him some rules and regulations. But he said, you don't decide, talking about that tree, you don't decide what's right and wrong. And look around us today in the world. Man is deciding what is right and wrong. And it's totally contrary to what God said. And yet, more and more as time goes by, man is trying to decide what is right and wrong. So it's no wonder the world is going down. So Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, and God's process of him electing people. We heard last week about Abraham, but many in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, with the beginning of the church in Acts, where the church was started, and it's been continuing ever since, where God is electing people, you and me. God is the one that is doing that. And once we truly understand God's purpose, and that is that he's building a family, it's fascinating when we really understand it. But we have to keep all the things that we mentioned earlier about commitment and focus and teamwork and sacrifice and being supportive and training and having adversity along the way. We have to keep that in mind at all times. So life is a race. If you'd like to turn to Hebrews 12 and verse 1. I'd like to go there first, please. Just a few scriptures. Not too many this afternoon. Hebrews 12, 1. And this talks about a race. Hebrews 12. Actually, it's Hebrews 12, verse... Hebrews 12, verse 1. This is Paul saying. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, a cloud of basically witnesses from the Bible, but I'm sure even then he was suggesting people around him, people who were supportive and who had focus and who was able to commit. He said, let us lay aside every weight, every adversity that comes along, and the sin which so easily ensnarls us, and let us run with endurance. Another point that Mr. Peterson brought out, endurance. This is about running a race now. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. And he goes on a little bit further. He said, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. He said, lest you become weary. So we have to look to Christ for the example that he set, the endurance that he set, lest we become weary and discouraged in our lives or in our souls. And he said, you have not yet resisted the bloodshed. And that's true. I don't think any of us have had to. Our life was on the line. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you to his sons. Then in verse 7 he says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with son. And for what son is there whom a father does not chasten? So you see, we are in a race. If you'd like to turn over to 1 Corinthians verse 9, this is Paul talking about the race again. He makes some comments in verse 24, 1 Corinthians 9. Paul says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? So apparently they had those sort of events even at the time that Paul was writing, and he knew about the events at that time. He said, run in such a way that you may obtain it. And if you look at the margin, it says, run in such a way that you may win. He said, and everyone who competes for the prize is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. Like all these people that we talked about in the Olympics, they did it for a gold medal. But you know, it's interesting, this Duff Gibson, who we mentioned, he said he's already back to reality. He's back 2 days and he's back to work. And apparently he was the low man on the totem pole, so his job as a fireman at this point is cleaning the toilets. And I guess he's basically come down to that reality. He's coming back to reality and he realized that he does have a gold medal, and he's very pleased with it, 40 years old. But Paul says here, now they do to attain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. That's life, eternal life. Eternal life that is a gift. And God's Spirit also is a gift that God gives as a helper. Even with the fact that eternal life is a gift and God's Spirit is a gift, we still have, as free moral agents, that right to decide. So we decide our future. We decide that we have all these other things, all these attributes that we can draw from. He said, therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. He knew exactly what he was doing. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, proud, pride, none of that stuff, but he's, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, something that we do as well, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. So, our salvation depends, our salvation, that means born into God's kingdom, depends not on one just receiving God's Holy Spirit, but being led by His Spirit, and God's Spirit, Christ in us, living in us. And that has to be at the end of our race on earth. We can have it along the way. We can do things because it's our choice to lose it along the way. But we have to have, to make it into the kingdom of God, first resurrection, we have to have God's Spirit dwelling in us at that time. And again, that's either the time of death or Christ's coming, whichever comes first. Just a few more scriptures just to deal with some of the attributes that we talk about, I have some questions here about our journey, our race, our road through life. And the question number one is our race, our road to eternal life, whichever one you could call it, is it harder than the path to the podium by those who participated in the Olympians? The second question, do we work or train as hard as some of the athletes that strike gold at the Olympics? And the third question, is our reward, the resurrection, that's eternal life, better than a gold medal at the Olympics? And finally, is it worth it? I would hope that the answer to all these questions is yes, absolutely, because it is. When we think about it, when we understand it, absolutely, yes. There is no comparison. We will probably, in the millennium, the ones that are there for the first resurrection, I don't know if they'll be reported around at that time, but imagine once, if we're dead or whichever way we rise in the air, imagine how we'll feel at that time. You just have to let your mind kind of wander and think about that. How will we feel at that time? And like I said, there should be no question. But it's hard, our life. Overcoming is the hardest part because we tend to want our way rather than the right way. So we have to keep that in mind at all times. So remember, we were saved by grace, and that's free, unmerited pardon. And that's, we receive the gift of eternal life. Matthew 16, verse 27, a couple of scriptures. Matthew 16, verse 27. This talks about something a little bit different. I think it's important that we understand. I think we do. Matthew 16, verse 27. This is Christ again. For the Son of Man, verse 27, the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then reward each according to his, what does he say there? Grace? He doesn't say grace. He says, will reward each other according to works. So that means that we have to work on it. Work on it as hard as we possibly can, at the same time understanding that we have the support, we have the encouragement, we have the inspiration, we have all these different things that can help us along the way. And we need those things. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. And Peter says here, he says, grow. This is part of the work part again. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. So God wants us to grow. Grow and in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So there's Peter again is saying here that we need to work on it continually. And at the same time, we give God the credit because Jesus Christ is the one that's working in us and through us. Matthew 6 and verse 14, Matthew 6, verse 14, just a few words of encouragement. I hope these are very encouraging words because I know they are with me. It's good to look at them. Matthew 6, and verse 19, I meant to say. I had it 19. I said 14, but verse 19. Matthew 6, verse 19. And Jesus said here, he said, do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and dust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But he said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither doth or moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in to steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Encouraging words when you think about the gold medal and the feeling that these individuals have. But the Bible does say, as Christ said, it'll be destroyed, it'll be forgotten. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but probably 10 years from now, nobody else will ever remember who Cindy Clausen was. Very possible, you never know. But what Christ is saying, that we need to where our treasure is, there your heart will be also. So it has to come from the heart. James 1 and verse 4. James, Peter, John. This is one of the attributes as well that is important. James 1 and verse 4. This has to do with perseverance. Actually, starting in verse 2. He said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Remember some of the comments that Cindy Klassen made about being happy, joy, having fun? Not fun to have trials, but James here says that count it joy when you fall into various trials. And the reason for that, because when we're in trials, serious trials, like Mr. Peterson said, that's when the rock is being hardened. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, or as the margin says, perseverance. So he said, let patience or perseverance have its perfect work, that you may become perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And that's really, in a nutshell, it says what God is doing. He's trying to, well, he's building new beings, new sons and daughters, and they're going to be exactly like him after the resurrection. Hebrews 3, back a few pages, Hebrews 3 and verse 12 and to verse 14. He gives a warning here, and I hope the warning here is not discouraging, because he doesn't mean, Paul means it that way, but he says, beware, brethren, lest any of you, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you a heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. But he said, exhort one another daily, or encourage one another daily. That's what it says in the margin. While it is yet called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. So that's basically talking about our part again in verse 14, confidence, being steadfast. We need those attributes, just like the participants in the Olympics. Philippians 4, verse 13. Philippians 4, verse 13. Just about wrapping it up here. A couple of more scriptures. Philippians 4, verse 13. I like Philippians because it gives us a lot of meat to work with. I said verse 4, and I did say 4, verse 13, but just notice here, 3, verse 12. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Perfect scripture for the comment that Sarah Hughes made is, every day is a new day. Every race is a new race. And he said, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us, as many as you mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. The scripture, that the other scripture in verse chapter 4, verse 13, this is confidence again. The same confidence that, or similar confidence that these young ladies had. I know I can win. I know I've got left, that last lap. She saved it up until the last lap, the very end. And she was very confident in that. She knew that she could overtake the partner in the race. And she wasn't too sure whether she would get gold, but she knew she could do her very best, 100%. And she says, Paul says here, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. One more scripture, James 2 and verse 4. James, Peter, John. James 2, verse 14. He says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith? And they had all these individuals had a faith or a belief that they could accomplish their mission, either winning a race or finishing the race, whatever it might be. When he says that he has faith or belief, does not have works, can faith save him? And he says in verse 18, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So our belief, There's works involved. And he concludes in verse 26 of that same chapter. He says, "For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." Let's sum it up just by going to Revelation. For a few scriptures in Revelation. So start in 19. I'm just going to read about three or four of them here. In verse 7, and the quote here is, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." That's got to be a fantastic occasion, if you think about it. The bride, the church, has made itself ready. "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.'" It's got to be really something to think of the marriage supper of the Lamb. We can just let our heads just kind of think on that one for a long time. Far out seeds that brief moment of getting on the podium and getting a gold medal. In verse 17, "Come and gather together for the supper of the great God," a time that's still to come. We know in verse 21, it talks about the first resurrection. 20 verse 6 should say, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection." And it describes, again, a little bit about the things that will happen at that time. In chapter 21, he goes on to mention to something that we need to continually having that happen or doing it. He in verse 7, "He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be my God, and he shall be my son." Tremendous promise for all those who are faithful to the end. And finally, final scripture that we can kind of hang our hat on as well. This is a promise. It's a promise from Jesus Christ and a promise from God. It will happen. I guess the question is whether or not we have the strength to carry on. And God willing, we will have that strength to carry on. And he says, last scripture, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to work." So our job is to stay the course, be focused, have all the attitudes that we talked about, being supported, being committed, the sacrifice, the adversity, the teamwork, all those things, the training, and the faith as well. So Godspeed that day.